Go. It's about to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places. Been with the dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping, now that's a pipe dream. For the right fee, I might be entitled to the title. Be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sundays, that's the one day I can complain, never complain. Cause I know the boys gon' drop a pod, prop up my squad so I can talk a lot. But here we go again, it's a new year. Rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do sphere? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era, happy hour, yeah. Let me ask you this, are you trying to get picks? Are you trying to get rich? Are you trying to get ships? Then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places.
Welcome back, DHH listeners. This is Tim Keller here doing a solo pod on Easter. A little Easter egg for all our fantastic fans. I know that we'd said we were going to be away this week, and, you know, spending holidays with the family is extremely important. And I know the four of us, Justin, Tyler, Doug, and myself, spend a lot of time doing fantasy football things, doing football things that take us away from our family, take our attention away from our family from time to time. And it's good to, especially on days like today, just step back and enjoy the time you do have with your family, because there's nothing better than family. So I hope all of you got to spend some time with family members or loved ones today, and you enjoyed that time. But you know what? I have a fantastic wife. We spent all day doing family-oriented Easter activities. So I told her I was going to take about 30 minutes here and talk to you guys, because, you guys are family too, especially the Patreons. You guys have made a monetary donation towards us, saying you either A, enjoy our product, or B, value our product, and we appreciate that very much. And you guys are the ones that keep us going day in and day out. And we're just trying to help you guys get better at this, help you guys win championships, because at the end of the season, even if I had bad years in, let's say, 75% of my leagues, knowing that we helped even one of you guys get over that hump and get that title, that's really what does it for us. So last week on the Patreon, we put up the question thread, and it's kind of been my thing. I kind of make sure the questions get answered. I didn't get that done last week. So first off, my apologies. I shouldn't let that type of thing slip. If you guys are going to take the time to ask us questions, and we are constantly asking you guys to ask us questions, then we should make sure that we answer those. So again, another reason for me stepping down here into the basement, jumping in front of the mic and recording this for you guys. So I want to go back over last week's questions and kind of hit on these, give you guys my opinion on these, and make this a quick in and out, not take up too much of your time. But if there's any other questions, make sure you guys hit us up. I know somebody was interacting with us on the Facebook page today, had some questions about some rookie drafts coming up. That's another great way to interact with us. Don't be afraid to reach out there either. So last week's questions, the first one comes from Lineups and Chill. His question is, after two good running back classes, this year's incoming rookies, and a stout 2020 RB class, do you have any concerns about oversaturation? Would it be a good idea to trade for the few workhorses left, giving yourself an advantage over a mostly running back by committee league? Would it be a good idea to trade for workhorse running backs? Obviously, it would be a good idea. The downside to that is the price of the workhorse running backs. the Christian McCaffreys, the Todd Gurleys, the Saquon Barkleys, they do not come cheap. What you can do is take shots on guys like the Aaron Joneses, who there's still that question of, is he, you know, the best back in Green Bay? I know Doug and I completely believe that. You can go after guys like Kerryon, who flashed at times last year, but Detroit doesn't seem to be completely sold on him yet, but I believe he's easily the best back in that backfield for Detroit. I think he's another good one to go after. If you're a Philip Lindsay believer, we have a question about him coming up shortly. You can go after guys like that. Guys that may not be the, you know, quote unquote workhorse guy yet. If you have the capital and the ability to go get guys like Saquon, Todd, if you believe his knee's good, Melvin Gordon, I apologize. I should have threw him in there. Definitely. Personally, I would go for the next tier down. Go for the Joe Mixons of the world. I think Joe showed a lot last year. I think that offensive line's going to continue to get better. So you can go get Joe Mixon. I know, you know, they're going to have a new head coach, so the offensive philosophies might change a little bit. But I think with A.J. Green coming back healthy, I think that's only going to help Joe grow as well. So, you know, look at that next tier, guys, because that top tier is very, very hard to get into when it comes to their prices. But great question. Couple here from Brian Heiser. So his first one is, what is Antonio Brown's trade value in a 14-team league super flex? I'm looking to sell him, but I don't want to sell him cheap. Well, I personally don't have any shares of Antonio Brown anymore. I think I moved on from my last share of Antonio probably about 2 years ago. I thought that that his production was going to start to dip, and obviously it hadn't. But now with the move to Oakland, soon to be Las Vegas, there are some questions starting to swirl. Obviously, losing his running mate there, Ben Roethlisberger, is going to be a big issue. We'll see if he and Carr, or, you know, maybe some rookie that the Raiders decide to bring in, can find that chemistry. But currently, I think Antonio Brown's trade value, if we're just going to talk picks, I think he's going to be able to pull you two firsts, especially in a 14-team league. He should pull an early and then a mid to late first. If you're talking players, you're going to want to get, you know, if you're a believer in one of these young receivers that came out in the past couple years, you're going to want to get one of them plus picks or other assets. So let's say a DJ Moore. DJ Moore, and then maybe a first and a second, I think would be fair value for Antonio Brown. But you got to find the right owner, because like I said, a lot of people have those questions until they see the product on the field and see that Antonio Brown's going to continue to do what Antonio Brown's been known to do. I think a lot of people are going to devalue Antonio for right now. Brian's second question is, Bo Scarborough worth a taxi spot in a 14-team league? I'll be 100% honest. I have not paid a ton of attention to what Bo Scarborough's been up to this offseason. I think that the Cowboys kept him around. And if that is the case, then yes, 100%. A 14-team league, Bo Scarborough should be, you know, type of the back end of the roster type guy. But if something were to happen to a Zeke, he's obviously going to get a week-to-week workload. I'm sure he's not going to be a bell cow. I'm sure they're going to split the backfield touches between multiple backs there. But yeah, Bo Scarborough, especially in preseason, there's been plenty of people that have liked what they saw out of Bo. And so he's definitely worth a stash on a 14-team league. Really, when you get into deeper leagues like that, it's having those second and third guys on teams that when that starter gets injured, really, really help you out and give you that big push to keep you competitive in leagues. So Brian's next question, 12-team Superflex league. He has Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. He was thinking of trying to trade Philip Lindsay. What do you think I should get for him? He did win the league last year, and he does not have any picks until the fourth round this year. Well, if you're looking to try to get picks, I would say that Philip Lindsay should pull you an early mid pick, like the fourth or fifth overall pick. You could maybe go for the back end of the second and the back end of the first and pair it with a second. If you're looking for players, again, a DJ Moore probably straight up is about fair value for Philip Lindsay, Calvin Ridley, and maybe a third, something like that. unless you really want to get a big package of picks, you're going to take some later picks. Really, I think just holding on to Philip Lindsay at that point is probably your best bet. If you're going to try to get like 2 seconds and 2/3 and a fourth or something, I'd rather just keep Philip Lindsay, because your chances of having any of those sort of picks really blossom into what Philip Lindsay at least last year was is, you know, you're betting against the odds there. So the next question is from Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar. Is Tre'Quan Smith worthwhile hold in a rebuild? If not, what should his value be in a trade? Now, I said rebuild really weird there. Sorry. Tre'Quan Smith, I don't know how deep your league is, but if you're rebuilding, yeah, I think Tre'Quan's probably worth the hold just to see what happens this year, to see if he can, you know, get on the field, show you any sort of production. And here's why he's worth the hold. Because if he does begin to flash any sort of production, you're more than likely, I don't know where you took him in the rookie draft last year, or if you picked him up off the waiver wire after the draft, but more than likely you're going to gain value on Tre'Quan Smith. You got him that late in your rookie draft, or you scooped him up for free. So that's the type of guy on a rebuild. You hold on to him just long enough to gain value and then sell him off, because that's what's going to help you actually rebuild. So the next question comes from Superman. He actually has 5 questions here, I believe. So his first one, what is your favorite platform for Dynasty and why? Obviously, MFL is king. MFL has so many different settings, league styles you can play, and they've been in this arena for years and years now. I don't think anybody can beat MFL on their options. If you're looking for free options, I've played on Flea Flicker. They're okay. Fantrax is not a free option. They're also a pay site like MFL. Really, their interface is okay. It's a little clunky in some spots. They do offer an app. They do have one feature I like. It is a games played tracker for your taxi squad. So let's say you want to set up a taxi squad, and instead of being able to track, you know, you want to keep guys taxi squad eligible for 3 seasons, 2 seasons, whatever it is, you can use games played. So you can set it up so if a play after the 18th game a player plays in the NFL, the owner now has to make the decision to either bring him up to the roster or cut him. So you actually get to see your player play in games. So if a rookie tight end might not start at all his first year, or like a guy like Gesicki, you might not see much of him his first year. So, you know, if you're in a league where 1 year and you got to make the decision, Gesicki might get cut from rosters in leagues like that, unless you're a true believer and you just are going to be willing to hold and hope the talent starts to show out. But if it's the Fantrax style, where maybe you have it set up to, you know, 18, 19 games, you're going to get to see a couple games of him this season before you have to make those decisions. And that's a helpful tool there. But really, I've been very excited by, and I've started quite a few leagues. I've transferred a couple leagues over in a startup draft on there right now. I know I have a couple rookie drafts coming up on there, but it's a sleeper app. They started out as a newswire type of site. They dove into the redraft realm of a year or two ago, and they're moving over into Dynasty as well. They're adding Dynasty to their platform. They are a small crew. I want to say 6 people last time I spoke with them out of San Francisco. Great, personable people. I like the app a lot. It's fun to draft on. The draft board's a blast. They have a great league chat room as well as the draft room chat room. You can have multiple team trades. That's a feature I like. But like I said, they're just getting into Dynasty. So I'm interested to see where they go in the next couple of years. But they're a free option. If you haven't played on them, go check them out. You might like them. But like I said, MFL is king. You know, sometimes those leagues can get a bit pricey on MFL. So like it was a couple industry people got a league together, the Trade Addicts League. It was $10 a head to play. So, you know, and all of it goes into the prize pool. We don't have to pay the league fees. So that's a fun platform that I've been playing around with. So go check that one out. The next question, who is someone you're willing to trade up for in drafts based on current ADP? So rookie and startup. Well, I just said I was in a startup. The only trade I made in the startup was to move up and assure I got myself some Aaron Jones in my life. When it comes to rookie drafts, based off the current rookie draft ADP, guys like Miles Sanders and AJ Brown are the two guys I'm targeting in my rookie drafts, and I'm willing to trade up to get them. Next question. Who will make you feel absolutely miserable if you miss out on them in rookie drafts? AJ Brown. AJ Brown has been my receiver since the moment I started watching tape on receivers this year. So months and months and months ago, when I started watching tape on these rookie prospects, AJ Brown was the guy that I was putting my, you know, my flag on. I was planting down and saying, this is a guy I have to get on my teams. I like his ability. I think he's got a lot of Jarvis Landry to him. He can go downfield and make big plays, but he is a consistent pass catcher who's going to make plays after the ball's in his hands. You can keep him close to the line of scrimmage. He can work the middle of the field. He can work the outside. I think AJ Brown's very versatile. I like him a lot. That's the guy that I'm going to feel miserable about if I don't get in rookie drafts. Next question. With all the hype on the 2020 draft, why should we not be taking advantage and gobble up the 2019 picks? This is a fantastic strategy if it was a couple months ago. You gobble up as many picks as possible before all the big time rookie hype begins. And then once people fall in love with these rookies, then you sell them for the inflated price that you paid for just a few weeks ago. And you turn those into 2020 picks or other assets that you can then trade off and acquire 2020 picks. Unless you are completely sold on certain prospects in this draft, where I have a few that I am, but if you're, you know, if there's a handful of guys that you're sold on for this draft, by all means, you're going to pay the 105 this year is going to be much less than the 105 next year. Next year's class is going to be very exciting. Next year's class is going to have a lot of names that a lot of people are really, really going to be gunning for. So those first half of the first round picks this year, if you're sold on guys that you feel you definitely need to get on your team, those guys that you're going to feel miserable if you don't get on your team, go ahead and get those picks. But honestly, I think January, February would have been the time to really start gobbling up 2019 picks and then putting packages together, taking a first and a second this year for somebody's first next year. That's the strategy I would have tried to employ. I think it's a little late for that now, being we're only a handful of days away from the NFL draft. But another good question. And then finally, in a startup, why should people not trade picks in the draft? He learned this the hard way, but figured it would help out a fellow patron. As long as you're not trading tons of picks around and shorting yourself in a draft, I think it's okay. As long as you're being compensated, as long as you're going to get picks back. If you're willing to trade around early, you're going to pay more. If it's the first three rounds of a startup and you want to get five, six picks in the first three rounds of a startup, that's great if you're going for a win now type team, but realize you're going to have to sell rookie picks in the next few years. And if the guys you pick do not hit, you're going to be in some real, real trouble for a few years. So be sure the guys don't take shots on guys that haven't peaked yet. A Corey Davis, for instance, I know there was a lot of hype on a Corey Davis last year. So trading away some of your mid to late round startup picks along with some rookie picks to move up and get yourself a Corey Davis at the end of the second or third round in the startup, that probably hurt you. If you were willing to move around and go get a guy like Saquon, that may have paid off. So nobody's going to hit 100% of the time. So just lessen your opportunity to miss. Like I said, in the startup I'm currently doing, and it is a trade addicts league. It's supposed to be a hyperactive league, and there have been plenty of trades in this draft. I only moved up once. I was towards the back end of the round. It was on the opposite swing from me. So I moved up into one of the turns to make sure I got myself Aaron Jones. I traded away my pick in the upcoming round, and then three rounds later, I want to say. So I didn't move any rookie picks. I didn't dump a whole lot of like mid-round picks. I gave up two for one, and I was okay with that. It's a super flex league. I'd gone after quarterback early, was hitting on some receivers I liked, so I needed to try to solidify some more running backs. So Aaron Jones was the guy I went after there. In this game of fantasy football, it's easy to be wrong, and it's just as easy to be right. So don't feel that pressure that you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. All I can say is get the guys that you like, the guys that you like to watch, the guys that you like to cheer for, because it stinks if let's just say, you know, with this news with Tyreek Hill, let's just say what some people are saying is true. There's going to be plenty of people that don't want anything to do with Tyreek Hill. There's also going to be people that are going to say, you know, what he does off the field shouldn't influence what I do with my fantasy teams. If you're going to be one of those people that don't want to cheer for a Tyreek Hill, I know he's a fantastic receiver between the sidelines. Probably don't take him and get him on your fantasy teams. It's just, if you're not going to enjoy seeing him succeed, then I would personally not have that type of individual on my team if I'm not going to be willing to cheer for him on Sundays and see him succeed. I'd rather have a guy from the next tier that I want to see blossom, because I feel that they're a great player on the field and they're a great human off the field. And I'm not going to say I feel one way or the other about Tyreek. I just say that I know there's plenty of people out there in the industry, outside the industry that do have those feelings. And like Adrian Peterson, when his whole thing went down years ago, there were people just said, I don't care how amazing Adrian Peterson is, has been, and will be, I will no longer have him on my fantasy teams. And that's fine. It's not necessarily the way I play it, but I understand it. So fantasy is supposed to be a game. It's supposed to be fun. I know a lot of people play this for the money, play it for the trophies, and that's fine. That's fine. I like to win myself. I like to win money. I like to win trophies. I like to win championship belts and championship rings. It's what we all, you know, hope to do at the end of every season, but it's not going to go down that way all the time. So I'd rather have guys that I like and enjoy playing this game to be the ones on my team. So when they succeed, I succeed, and you know, I feel happy about it all the way around. So that's all the questions we had for last week. You know, I hope you guys had a fantastic week, had a fantastic Easter. Look forward to getting back with everybody on the podcast and having fun again next week as well. If you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to us on Patreon, on Twitter, or on Facebook. Like I said, we were interacting with a fan today, had some questions about some rookie startups. So, you know, the NFL draft is, what, 4 days away. We are 4 days from the NFL draft. And then it's rookie draft season, baby. There's going to be startups. There's going to be rookie drafts. It's that season. So I hope you guys are pumped. I know I am. I'm looking forward to it. I know my home league has their rookie draft the Saturday following the culmination of the NFL draft. So it's going to be good to get in a room with all those guys. When I say room, we're actually going to a Mexican restaurant. I'm probably going to wear a sombrero and be that dude. And we're going to have fun. You know, guys will be hammering down some drinks. Hopefully they get nice and lubed up and I can kind of swindle them from picks and some trades. We'll see what happens. But like I said, you guys got any questions, reach out to any of us or all of us. And, you know, we'll give you the responses hopefully you're looking for. But until then, guys, it's been fun. Happy Easter one more time. We'll see you guys right here next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast.